Good morning, everyone. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to once again be assembled as the saints of our God to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're also grateful with our friends who have chosen to visit us this morning. We're truly honored by your presence, and if you have any questions, we ask that you please ask them before you leave, as we would love to engage in that biblical conversation with you. If you will, please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. The Word of our God says the following: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we once more come before that throne of grace to give thee honor and glory. Father, we are grateful, and we, Father, truly are submissive to thy will. Because, Father, without thee we cannot live. Without thee we cannot sustain and cannot survive. And thus, Father, we thank thee because thou have loved us and have given us everything that is necessary so that we can succeed, Father, and be with thee for all of eternity. Father, as we continue to study about thy Spirit, please allow us, Father, to have a ready recollection of what we have learned, that we, Father, may be able to meditate and that we can concentrate fully on thy Scripture, so that, Lord, that which we are going to be studying together may be for thy honor and for thy glory, so that we, Father, may give that honor and that respect to the Holy Spirit, for he too is God. Forgive us, Father, when we have sinned against thee, and forgive us when we have fallen short of thy grace. But please, Lord, we appeal to thy grace and thy mercy. Grant us strength so that we may get back up, and the knowledge so that we may learn to walk circumspectly as wise people and not as fools. We thank thee, Lord, as we pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Great Revealer is what we have titled our lesson this morning. As you know, we began last week talking about that the Holy Spirit is God. We were also able to present that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an object, not some emotion, not some thought or concept. He is not some force of power, as some denominations like to portray him, nor is he an emanation, or that is to say, a ghost of some manner. The Holy Spirit, as we were able to establish these very foundational pieces of information, is God. And because he is God, he is owed reverence, he is owed honor, and he is owed worship, just as the Father and the Son. But this morning we now approached, as we continue to follow this thread of knowing who the Holy Spirit is, what his role is inside of the Godhead. What is the role of the Holy Spirit as God in accordance with the Father and the Son? And you may be asking yourself, well, how do we see this in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 3? Right there, Christ is talking about the vine dresser. He is talking about him being the true vine. But what does this have to do with them as God, or as the Godhead or deity? Well, you see, once again, we're talking about the function of the Holy Spirit within the Godhead. We have to understand, first and foremost, what the role of the Father is within that function, what the role of the Son is within that function, so that we then know how the Holy Spirit fulfills and complements the other two persons of deity. And when we come to John chapter 15, I want to remind you that in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Holy Spirit is presented to us by Jesus. He explains to his disciples, and thus through the Scripture to us, what his role is. how he functions within the Godhead, but also how he was going to function with the apostles, and then later today in our future with us as the church. So we will be spending much time of this quarter in these three chapters. But this morning, let us pay attention to what Jesus is saying in chapter 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. Notice that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all present here. You know, I learned something this week as I was studying for this, and it's amazing, brethren, that many times we, again, shy away from studying about the Holy Spirit because we believe it is a subject that there is, quote, not enough information out there. And in reality, brother, the Holy Spirit is the one whom we have the most information of. Because as it was reminded to me, the Holy Spirit, being God, wants us to know who He is. He wants us to know what His function is. If that weren't the case, we would not have the 66 books known as the Bible. You see, the Holy Spirit can be learned about through the work that He has done, through the work that He does. Remember, Romans chapter 1 verse 20 teaches us that the invisible attributes of deity, that is the invisible attributes of God, can be clearly seen through His creation. Well, the Holy Spirit's work is the Word of God. We know this because, again, we think about 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that teaches us that the all Scriptures are inspired by God. We then go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Once again, we are being told that this book we call the Bible was His handiwork. And thus we know who the Holy Spirit is by the work that He has left us. And this concludes, He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know what His function is. And this is why it's important to see that the Holy Spirit is present here in chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. You see, brethren, we begin by establishing in verse 1 the Father. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You see, Jesus presents His Father as the owner of the vineyard. Jesus presents His Father as the one who is going to determine what vines need to be pruned and what vines their branches are required to remove. But at the same time, He is the one who is going to take the fruit from these vines. He is the one who is going to benefit from the fruits of this vine. And thus, when we see God as the true vine dresser, what we are seeing then, that the Father, as we are able to learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, He is above Jesus Christ. But remember, this doesn't mean that He's superior to Him. It means that Jesus and the Holy Spirit willingly submit to the will of the Father. And therefore, when we speak about the Father as the true vine dresser, does not mean that He's more powerful than God, Holy Spirit, or God the Son. It means is that this is how they operate, and each one of their specific functions are actually seen here in these first three verses. Thus, we see then that Jesus presents the Father as the vine dresser. He is the one who has put out the plan. It is His will that is being followed, and it is His will that Jesus often refers to by saying, not my will, but yours. But then notice Jesus. Jesus there in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. There's the will of the Father. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Once again, there is the will of the Father. But what does Jesus present Himself as? Well, He's the true vine. He's the one giving birth to these branches. He's the one that is sustaining these branches. He's the one that is giving the minerals that are required for these branches to be successful, to be fruitful. But then there are those branches that are siphoning those minerals and that strength from other branches and never produce fruit. But notice that Jesus says that He, meaning the Father, is who takes away. Thus we see the will of the Father in verses 1 and 2, but we see how the Son, through His obedience, by His following the will of His Father, through His life and His actions, He then presents to us that He is bringing and putting into action the will of the Father. He is the one that is putting the plan into action. He is the one who died on the cross. He is the one who was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and He is the one who resurrected, later ascended into heaven, leading captivity captive. Not the Father, not the Son. You have to remember Matthew chapter 17 when Jesus is transfigured, and we see that it is the Father's will that now the voice of His Son be obeyed. Peter wanted to build tabernacle for Elijah and for Moses, but it was the Father's will that the Son's voice now be obeyed. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 and 2 also makes this point very clear. So we see the Father as the vine dresser. We see the Son as the true vine. The will, the Father, where we see the execution of His will. But verse 3, brethren, is undeniably the presence of the Holy Spirit. And notice how the Holy Spirit is shown here. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Because of the word which I have spoken to you. When we look at John chapter 15 verse 3, we see how the Holy Spirit here, brethren, is presented through the word. The same word that we have already established through scripture that has been inspired by Him. The same word which Jesus told the disciples He would bring into their memory when they had to speak. The same words, brethren, that today we use so that we can understand what the will of the Father is, how Jesus got as near to the Father, and why it's important to heed the words of the Spirit Himself. Notice that Christ says that the words He had taught them made them clean. Well, brethren, when something is dirty and it is out of organization, when something is all just jumbled up into one room and there is no space, there is no clarity, well, there is much confusion and chaos going on. Notice that what Christ here is presenting in the imagery of a vineyard, He is saying that they were once a vineyard that was covered by brumble and brush. They were a vineyard that they were all tangled up, that they were all clear, and even if they wanted to give fruit, the thorns and the thistles were asphyxiating the branches. Thus we see that God the Father uses the Holy Spirit, the Word, to clean and make and give that space, that air, so that they could then begin to give forth fruit. You see, brethren, Romans 8 is all over this, isn't it? Because without a spiritual mind, we cannot give the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21 and forward. We have to know what the will of God is. We have to see the example in the Son. And we have to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can give forth fruit, spiritual fruit. Thus, when we begin to speak about the Holy Spirit, hence why we called our lesson this morning, the Great Revealer. Because the role of the Holy Spirit in the Godhead is to reveal these things. The role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to us the Father, the Son, and Himself, the Holy Spirit. But it is also to reveal to us that plan that they as God from eternity had begun to put into place even before the world had been created. Thus the role of the Holy Spirit, brethren, is seen in this very book known as the Bible. He reveals to us, He guides us through His revelation, and He gives us the tools that we need so that we can be made clean by His Word. Notice that the Holy Spirit reveals to us what the will of the Father is. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And notice, brethren, there, beginning at verse 14. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Observe verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also knew, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. What are we reading about here? Well, this is the will of the Father, isn't it? We are reading, brethren, in verses 17 through 21, that Peter points to Scripture to explain what was happening in that moment. And what Paul declares to them is that what they were witnessing was the will of the Father now taking place. It was the will of the Father not only to pour His Spirit upon His servants, but we see that the will of the Father was so that they could prophesy. And why was it God's will for them to prophesy? So verse 21, so that through their prophecy, that is their preaching, they could then be saved. By hearing what these servants had to say, they then would have to obey the words that they heard. And in obeying the word of God, they then would be able to reach salvation. And then in verses 22 through 24, once again the Apostle Peter shows that God, meaning the Holy Spirit, attested with Jesus through signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, how do we know that God there is the Holy Spirit? Because it is the same thing that is happening now. They were speaking in tongues. They were performing this miraculous work where God was attesting with them. Because remember, in verse 13, they thought they were drunk. It's amazing that they would reach such an ignorant conclusion. Because who would ever think that getting drunk can make you learn how to speak a language that you can understand? This is why Peter comes to the defense of the disciples. But in reality, if you pay close attention, he's not coming to the defense of his disciples. Or the apostles, excuse me. He's coming to the defense of the Holy Spirit. Because what they were then declaring was that the Holy Spirit was wine itself. Notice, brethren, that the will of the Father is being revealed here by the Holy Spirit. We always refer to this as the first gospel sermon of the church. And we know that this is true because we keep going further and we read in verse 36 and forward how it is that when they heard these sayings, they were cut to the heart. And when they were cut to the heart, we see that they asked the following question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They had heard what Peter had to teach. They heard what the Spirit through Peter was guiding them, the will of God. And now they're wanting to know, how do we follow God's plan? Once again, the will of God in verse 38 is presented. We are to repent, and we are to be baptized for the remission of sins. And then what does verse 38 say? And receive the gift. You shall receive, rather, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to get into that this morning. We'll get into that further on this quarter. But know this, the gift of the Holy Spirit is in reference to life. They were going to receive life. But we see, brethren, John 15:1, my Father is the vine dresser. He is the one who cuts branches. He is the one who prunes the ones that need more strength. But it is His will that is always being presented. It is His will, His plan that is being followed. And thus the role of the Holy Spirit when it pertains to the Father is to make that plan known, is to reveal what that will is, as we've seen here in Acts chapter 2. But you see, Jesus, brethren, came to show us the Father, remember? In John chapter 14, when one of His disciples asked, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied," remember that the Lord answered by saying, "How long have I been with you and you ask me to show you the Father?" And then further on He says, "For the Father and I are one." Thus what we are seeing, brethren, in Colossians chapter 2, is that Christ shows us the Father by His example. He shows us who the Father is by being holy and by being obedient to the will of His Father. And thus we have to understand that the Holy Spirit's role comes into this, because without having these inspired words, how can we in 2022 follow an example that we don't know about? Amen. You see that? The Holy Spirit's role when it pertains to Jesus Christ is to testify to us about what the Son did for us, but also how He followed the will of His Father. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what God tells us about Himself. And remember, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning there at verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Let's pause there. Where were they inquiring? What were they searching carefully? And more importantly, why? Well, they were inquiring and searching the Scriptures. And why were they inquiring and searching of the Scriptures? Because it is the inspiration of God. It is God's Word. We continue to go. It says, "And search carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you." How? "By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." Notice, brethren, it was not angels who declared the plan of salvation. It was not angels who testified of Christ and the glories that He would provide. It was the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, says the Apostle Peter. The Holy Spirit, brethren, here, and by the way, the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Why is this important? Because there in chapter 1, verse 11, we are seeing that Christ, the Son of God, and the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, are equal and one and the same. This is why He is God. But the point being, the Holy Spirit's role, and when it pertains to the Son, is to tell us how He obtained our salvation. To tell us why we have to follow His example. To give us an example, a paradigm or pattern for us to follow. Is this not the whole point of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and forward? Specifically verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the measure and stature of Christ Jesus. How are we going to know who to imitate if we do not have something explaining to us His example? This, brethren, is the purpose of the Holy Spirit as the great revealer when it pertains to Jesus Christ. He reveals to us the life of Christ. He reveals to us the death of Christ. He reveals to us the burial and resurrection of Christ. But He also reveals to us the obedience of Christ. How Christ, even though He suffered, from what He suffered, He learned to be obedient. Hebrews tells us this three different times. But without those passages, brethren, how could we know? The Bible, brethren, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, reveals to us that it is indeed His role when it pertains to the Son in teaching us and declaring us, testifying to us of who Jesus was and what He did to achieve and obtain our salvation. So when it comes to the Father, He reveals the Father's will. When it comes to the Son, He reveals the Son's obedient example. But now, what is His role as God? Once again, He's the great revealer. The question thus is, what is He revealing about Himself? What He is teaching us about Himself? Now, I started by saying that I was reminded that the Holy Spirit as God wants us to know who He is. This is why He left this entire book. But now let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice how there the Holy Spirit tells us what His role is in regards to His being the great revealer and what He is revealing to us about Himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. I apologize, it was 2 Thessalonians. I'm reading the wrong passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation, notice, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Obed, why did you just read this and it would have given you all three of your points? Because then my lesson would have been done in 5 minutes. Notice, brethren, what is the will, or what is the will of the Father? Well, salvation. This is why He called us. What is the role of the Son? Well, His obedient example. This is how we are going to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But did you notice the Holy Spirit is telling us what He does here too? Did you observe He's revealing to us about Himself? What does the Holy Spirit do as God? He sanctifies us. He sanctifies us through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Not truth, the truth. When you see those two words together, you have to understand that it is talking about doctrine. The one and only doctrine, the faith, the truth, the doctrine. These are all synonyms of one another. And thus what we are reading here is that we then are sanctified when we, by the Word of God, are obedient to the Word of God. Let me prove it to you in one more passage. Go with me now to 1 Peter. Same 1 Peter we read. And remember there in 1 Peter we were able to see the example of the Son, right? Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1 once again. Verse 22 through verse 25. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying, what do we see? The truth. Sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Here is what a belief in the truth means. Obeying the truth through whom? The Spirit. Through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. Well, what does that mean? Baptism. Can't be born again unless you are baptized. Excuse me. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14 goes hand in hand with 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 through 25. And yes, I did not read verses 24 and 25, but I encourage you to do so at home. But notice that the Holy Spirit is telling us what His role is in the Godhead. He reveals to us the will of the Father. He reveals to us the example of the Son. But now He reveals to us that it is He who sanctifies us. And how does He sanctify us? Through His Word, when it is obeyed, when it is followed. This is Romans chapter 8 all written over, isn't it? But you see, brethren, He is the great revealer. His role in the Godhead is to reveal. And He's already revealed to us as far as His role within them as God, or rather, Him as God. But His revelation doesn't stop there. His revelation, brethren, does not stop there. And as God, His revelation as the great revealer is also to us as to how we then can be good children of God. Go with me now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You see, the great revealer reveals us the will of God. The great revealer reveals us the example of the Son of God. The great revealer reveals to us how He as God sanctifies us. But now the great revealer is going to reveal to us how we as the church are eternal and how we remain in that state. Romans chapter 8. Notice what the Holy Spirit tells us in concerns to the being part of the church. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. How does the Spirit Himself bear witness to our spirit? It isn't through visions, it isn't through dreams, it isn't through nudges, brethren. It is through the Scriptures that He has already given us. And this, brethren, becomes, you can either see it as the pattern that we need to follow or the mirror that we need to see God reflected in when we see ourselves in it. This is how the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit. Remember that there the word spirit, pneuma, within the context, is referring to the human mind. It is referring that when we have God's Word understood in our mind, then this obedience of it gives us that confirmation and security that we then can exclaim in victory, Abba, Father. In other words, when I read the Scriptures, do I see myself exemplified in them? Do I see my life when I read the Scriptures? If I don't, then I am not a part of the church. The great revealer reveals to us who is a son and who isn't. Who belongs to the kingdom and who doesn't. Who is an heir and joint heir with Christ and who is going to be left out of the will. He reveals to us the will of the Father, the obedient example of the Son, the sanctification of the Spirit. But what, or rather how, I become an heir and joint heir with Christ. In other words, He reveals to me who is the church, the identity of the church. Truly, He is the great revealer, is He not? We can know who the Holy Spirit is by the work that He has left us. The only reason we don't know is because we are not looking hard enough. We are allowing our misconceptions to take away from us this great, great lesson of knowing who He is. Now, my friend, the Bible itself, the Holy Spirit's work, God's Word, is telling us that He sanctifies. But the only way He can sanctify, that means He can purify, He can cleanse, He can remove, as we saw this morning in our Bible class, through the justification, right, that is found in the waters of baptism, is when you actually go into the waters of baptism. You cannot expect to just look at the water and expect for it to clean you. Think about your children when you tell them to go and take a shower, and all they do is turn on the water and they're there in the tub, but never get in, but say they took a shower. It doesn't work that way. The same is true when it comes to the sanctification process. The only way the Holy Spirit can sanctify us is by the obedience of the gospel of Christ in the waters of baptism. Remember what we read in Acts chapter 2? Once again, verse 37, the question is, men and brethren, what shall we do? Actions. Works. The answer, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be sanctified unless you are obedient to the gospel of Christ. You cannot be cleansed of your sins unless you go into the waters of baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to then rise to a newness of life. The great revealer has revealed to us the path that leads to salvation, because that is the will of the Father. That was why the Son was obedient. And this is why the Holy Spirit is ready to sanctify if we obey. Don't you want to be cleansed this morning? Don't you want God to sanctify you because of your obedience? If there's anyone here subject this morning to this invitation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.